Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chuffle Peak Penel, your Jam That Champion. And I'm joined, as always, by my intangible co-host, your Quizzlemania Champion. Tempest the Wrestler.
I am your Quizzlemania champion. Tempest the Wrestler. I like my crown.
Well, you never need to tap it harder, I think. For audio purposes, you need to tap it harder.
I don't even think I could call this plastic, Pete. It's not making much of a noise. It's kind of like a thud.
What do you mean? It's solid metal with jewels in it.
It's gold. I love gold.
I love gold. Rubber ducky, this is Goldie Wang. All right. God, I'm not going to get down a gold member train. How you doing today, Tempest?
I'm doing all right today, Chops. I think I'm doing all right. I ain't got nothing much going on these days. Just watching wrestling and talking about it with you.
That's a pretty sweet life right there. That's pretty decent.
I'd have to say so. It's not much to complain about, I will say.
Yeah. In contrast, I've had quite the busy day. Due to various circumstances and things. I've been super duper busy today, and it don't stop, because immediately after this I've got predictions for Money in the Jam, where I'm gonna be not defending my Jam That Championship. Why would I defend my belt at not a big show? Come on now. I've had obviously NXT, did the news this morning, did all sorts of stuff, and I've also been working on my own stuff a little bit as well. Been doing a little bit of Warcaster over on YouTube as well. Had a sketch video go up. I've got another one ready to go, pretty much. I've got to do a little bit more editing on that, but it's pretty much ready to go, which is great. So yeah, I launched a Patreon. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I got three backers. I was very happy with it. Yeah. It was awesome. That was great.
I thought of doing that, but
yeah.
See, if I launch a Patreon for my YouTube channel, I will then feel obligated to make content because they're paying for it.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I have enough motivation to do that on a consistent basis.
I've been
making my current video for like a month. And it's like, I'll finish it when I finish it, just because I don't have time. And I don't want to burn myself out.
Exactly. That's the very smart thing to do. And that's what I did with my channel initially with Warcaster. Was I was like, I'm just going to make some videos because it's fun. And now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I think I can take this a bit more seriously. So that's what I'm going to do. I think I've got some good ideas. And I also came to the conclusion, because I got to the point where I was making content where I was like, well, I need to know what I'm going to make for like months in advance, because I'll run out of ideas. Like that, I'll just stop and I won't have anything to make. I come to the realization that if you just sit down and plan stuff every once in a while, you can come up with new ideas. Like it just kind of happens if you just think about stuff. Because I was thinking up you know, one of the main reasons I stopped making content before, because I was like, well, I don't have any more videos to make. And I was super busy at the time. So I was like, I don't have time to think about anything else. So I just didn't make anything else. And I just kind of stopped. But now I literally sat down and on one tube ride, I went on the underground for like 45 minutes and I came up with like 7 different video ideas. I was like, I've just got to come up with, I can think of stuff. I'm somewhat creative sometimes. I can come up with stuff. And then I start writing scripts and all that. Yeah. I kind of was like, so I could totally make this consistent then. Huh. That's an interesting idea. And then the ball just started rolling from there. And then here we are. Hey, Warcaster. Yeah.
Patreon. Hell yeah.
Patreon.com/Warcaster. I'm not plugging. You're plugging. Anyway, we should get talking about NXT. Talk about some more stuff afterwards. We've got an email to get to as well. But yeah, first thing we're going to be talking about was the main event of the show, where it was Karrion Kross versus Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship. And then what happened in the post-match was Kross choked out Samoa Joe. What's happening with that? I'm quite intrigued. Let's talk about it. We're going to start off with the main event, which was Karrion Kross versus Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship. Now, the first thing we really have to address here, this is very, very important. The first thing we have to address about this match is they had intangibles.
Yes. Oh, intangibles. And they were dumb. They were dumb again.
They were really dumb. They were really dumb intangibles. I love it. So we had the adaptable. I already spoiled one. The intangibles for Johnny Gargano were adaptable, endurance, ring IQ.
Not adaptability, okay. And endurance.
Nope. Adaptable and endurance. Yep. Every time. Adjective or noun. Sort it out. I can't get over Karrion Kross's one. Karrion Kross, dominant striker, which is just still my favorite. Dominant striker, judo grappler, strength. I just love the contrast. Dominant striker, judo grappler, strength.
He's strong.
I just love it. When it was, I think it's the combination of being three syllables, one syllable. It just made it dominant striker, judo grappler, strength. It just got nothing else to say. Not powerhouse. Not power. Not anything that we see on anyone else. Strength is all this.
Which again,
God, love it.
Very tangible.
Yes, incredibly like, tangible.
The most tangible asset you could have is strength.
God, intangibles are so stupid. I love them. I love them so much. I hope they never go away. They provide me with so much joy. Anyway, this match, I thought, was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this match. I don't think it's been like the best main event that NXT's done recently or anything. I don't think it was at the same level of any of the big like Great American Bash matches, like some of the top Great American Bash matches. I don't think it was on that level. But I do think it was a lot of fun. There was a rough looking spot where Kross just kind of, I forget the name of it. It's like a choke bomb, whatever it's called. Into like the
slam, they called it at one point.
Sure. Yeah. And he does it into the corner of the announce desk for Johnny's back, just into the corner of the desk. Looked awful. Looked so, so bad.
It's very rare for me to like pop during a match when I'm not on stream and go like, oh my God. But that was one of those moments where it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Thankfully, he's okay. Fightful Select has reported since then that he is okay, but
God. And he had a brilliant sell of that as well. He just like was not moving for a bit. He was literally just like on the floor, just like hand in his back, just like, yeah. And you could tell if there was more audio, you could tell he was probably lying there just being like, the whole thing, because that looked rough. But it led into a really fun match. I think the main purpose of the match, my only criticism of this, and it's not really a criticism because it's what they were trying to do in the first place. It's just because I really like Johnny Gargano. Is the main focus of this thing was really Joe versus Cross. That was the idea of this match, with Samoa Joe being the special guest referee. The idea was to build more tension between those two. And Johnny Gargano was basically just a pawn in this chess match that they've got going on. But there were some really close near falls for Johnny later on in the match. So many points where Joe was getting involved. There was a point where Cross had the... God, what does he even call it? His choke. Does he have a name for the choke? He just chokes people out, whatever it's
called.
I'm
really bad at with NXT finishers, I'll be honest.
Yeah, man. I was going to call it the Coquina Clutch, and I'm like, no, that's Joe. Whatever. He has the choke thing on Johnny, but Johnny makes it to the ropes, and it gets Joe gets to a count of four and literally like pulls Cross off Johnny. And then they gotta get into each other's faces, like just walking cross jacket. Thank you very much, Dion Jewett, in the chat. That's the one. They get in each other's faces, a lot of tension between them, and it leads into this very close near fall for Johnny, where he manages to hit like a couple super kicks, does the one final beat. It's a really close near fall for him on there, which is great. But in the end, Cross comes back, hits a bunch of power bombs, elbow to the back of the head. Just pins Johnny for the win. The match itself, before we get into the post-match angle, I thought the match was really good. My only issue with it was that Johnny wasn't more of a big deal, but I don't think that was the point, in fairness to NXT, which is just a shame because I like Johnny. But
yeah, we've been talking the last few weeks about how we want Johnny Gargano to be this big baby face like he was way back when. But it doesn't really seem like that's the direction they're going. He might still end up as a babyface, but maybe not like the top babyface in the company, which, fair enough. We kind of assumed that might happen more so just because Karrion Kross was looking like he was going to get called up to the main roster and they were going to look to get the title off of him as quick as possible. And they haven't gone that direction, at least not yet. So that aside, I really did like this match. You know, it told a very simple story. Big man, bad. Little man, good. And you've got the referee in the middle to... He didn't get involved that much, like, to the point where you could say, like, oh, he's handing this match to Johnny Gargano or anything. He was calling it down the middle, but he wanted to make sure it ended by pinfall or submission. So he made sure that the guy who was going to get disqualified didn't do that. So, props to Samoa Joe, because I'm not usually a big fan of the special referee thing. I think more often than not, it's a distraction from the overall match itself. But I didn't feel like that was the case here. I enjoyed it, even though it was kind of like, we know that's where they're going. If Samoa Joe can get cleared, that's the direction, not another Cross Gargano match. So I felt like everything just kind of meshed well in this match. I didn't come away from this thinking that any one bit overshadowed any other bit.
Yeah, that's totally fair. But then we got the really exciting bit for me, which was Karrion Kross choked out Samoa Joe. They got in each other's faces again after the end of the match. Joe kind of turns around, walks away. But before he can get out of the ring, Kross chokes him out and leaves him laying at the end of the show. And that's really exciting for me because they're doing more and more overt teases of Joe wrestling again. And I think if NXT didn't have plans to have Joe wrestle, they wouldn't have done this angle. I think they're smart enough to know that if you do this angle, people will think that Joe is going to wrestle. And if Joe doesn't do a wrestle, people are going to be mad about it because this is like the most overt tease they've done. And I think if it was main roster, I probably wouldn't have the same faith. But because it's NXT, I think they've got a good enough track record that I think they wouldn't have done this unless they had plans to have Joe wrestle. So that excites me because I want Joe versus Cross. I want Joe versus Cole. I want Joe versus everyone, really. But Joe versus Cross, yes, please. Joe versus Cole, they're also teasing on this show as well. I'm really excited to see Joe back. I think he's going to be such an asset if he does get to wrestle again.
I think so, too. I mean, that would inject such life into NXT. And we don't know that he's cleared, but I would like to think that he is for the same reasons that you just gave, that I hope that they wouldn't promote and tease these matches if they weren't going to do them. I know Vince McMahon doesn't like doing that, and I know Vince doesn't run NXT. He does, but you know what I mean. I hope we get that, because if we don't get matches, it feels like we're running through this Samoa Joe as the enforcer of NXT thing really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he only showed up like a month ago to start doing this, you know? And I mean, there's still a lot of brawls backstage, so I don't know that he's doing that job that well, but mm-hmm. it just feels like we're moving very quick. And that might be because they want to get Cross up to the main roster. It might not, but I don't know. I hope we get it. I just want things to be justified by the end, because now I think it's a little bit messy.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But I'll also say as well, leaving at the end of the show, they've done a really good job since probably Stand and Deliver, or I guess In Your House. They've done a really good job of making me hate Karrion Kross. Because now I want Joe to murder him. It's partially because I just want to see Joe wrestle, but also because I want to see him get back at Cross now. I don't like Cross in a good way. Like, I still, you know, I respect him as much as I did before as a performer. It's nothing against the person, but against the character, I now hate the character. And that's exactly what I should be feeling against this big dominant monster heel that they've been trying to build up. So now I think they've done a really good job of making me want to see him get his ass kicked. And I'm excited to see that happen. So I think they did a really good job here of furthering Cross's character as well, to make him to the next level of, like, boo this man, out and out heel now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm excited to see it. I think Samoa Joe and him would be a really good matchup, because often when you put the two big guys together, it's like two tanks just boom. Boom. And it doesn't quite work out the same way that you might think it would, but Samoa Joe is such a good wrestler. He's the super heavyweight in size alone, but he works like a much smaller man. And that mixed with his believability, I think, is the perfect counter to Karrion Kross being this big, mean ass kicker. It just works. It works. And it's a different kind of story you could tell than if he goes up against Kyle O'Reilly or somebody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But let's get into some of your Ultra Chats. Let's see what you guys thought. Make sure to get in your Ultra Chats. WrestleTalk.com/support is the link to go to. Link is right there on the screen. And at the top of the description as well. Get in your Ultra Chats, because we're going to be going through all the ones that are $5 and up before the end of the show. Rebecca Siddle comes in to say, great show overall, despite the index segments. And why was Mandy Rose there? Oh, we'll get into that. Isn't stinking up Raw enough? Anyway, love the main event. Got a laugh out of the intangibles. I think you guys are being worked by NXT's approach to intangibles. LIW 444 life. Oh, man. the amount of times that people just say, well, you're just getting worked, aren't you? It's becoming a thing now. It's becoming a meme at this point. It's being like, ah, well, they're mad about something. Well, they're getting worked, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Rebecca. I can appreciate your opinions. And the intangible one, Cliff Beard. That's a good No Rosbard reference. It says, really good NXT show tonight. But did you guys see the WrestleVote tweet about Mandy being traded for Aaliyah? Also, Tempest, don't hate on Loomis. He had a good match tonight, and the stuff in the commercial was fun between Index. That stuff is subjective.
And incorrect.
We'll get into the whole Dexter Loomis stuff later. I did not see the WrestleBoats tweet about Mandy Rose and Aaliyah being traded.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Cool.
I don't know. It's not cool. It's not cool. I'll be perfectly honest. That sounds like a horrible idea. Like,
I mean,
I don't want to be cruel or too harsh, because I'm sure she's very nice. But in what world are we putting Aaliyah on the main roster? She couldn't do a hip toss in this match.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm just checking the WrestleVote's tweet now. While I'm not sure why, Saw says it seems like a trade went down between rosters. Raw trades Mandy Rose to NXT for Aaliyah.
Awful.
I mean, I don't think Aaliyah should be on the main roster. I'm with you. But also, I don't really care that much. It's not like, you know, what Mandy Rose should be on the main. She's great. I don't feel that strongly about Mandy Rose either. So it's not, I don't feel, you know, like, oh my God, Mandy Rose got screwed or like whatever. Oh, we're not going to see Mandy on the main roster anymore. Like, that's whatever. She's fine. And Aaliyah is, you know, whatever. I don't really care. I'll be honest. I don't really care.
It's fine. It's, I don't have to watch Raw, and I won't. So it probably won't affect me that much. But, like, what's the point of developmental?
I don't know.
You know? What's the actual goddamn point?
I don't know if NXT is developmental anymore. I think Evolve is developmental. And NXT's, like, sub... No. NXT's developmental, and Evolve is sub-developmental. And then... NXT is also sort of a third brand, but also not. It's weird.
Yeah, Raw got hosed in this deal.
Yeah.
For all my hockey fans out there, NXT is the Chicago Blackhawks trading Duncan Keith to the Edmonton Oilers. There's a reference.
Yeah, that one. Sports. Let's get into the rest of the show. We'll get into more of your Ultra Chats later on. Make sure to get those in. WrestleTalk.com/support. And yeah, we'll go through all of those later on that are $5 and up. But for now, let's get on with a review of the rest of the show. Aaliyah on the main roster. Wild. Sorry, I'm still kind of getting over that. We got a recap of the Great American Bash to start off the show. And then we got Ember Moon versus Dakota Kai. Now, there has been confirmation that Shotzi Blackheart's name on the main roster is now Shotzi, as was confirmed by the commentary team on this show, just calling her Shotzi, which is fine. That's okay. It's not the worst name in the world. But then we got, Ember Moon versus Dakota Kai. I thought this was a really good match. These are two very good wrestlers, and they had a very good match. Great. Good stuff, guys. Very fun, I thought. Very fast-paced. But it was pretty good. And then it's Go to Kick. Still the worst name.
It's the worst name for a finisher. And ever.
I've seen people saying that they think it's called Dakota Kick. Like the Dakota Kick. Like Kota Kick. No. It's Go to Kick. Like go to sleep, but you kick them. So she's gone, well, instead of sleep, it's kick. Go to Kick. Doesn't it make sense? God.
Oofa.
Anyway.
Yeah, I thought this was a really solid match. You know, like, it didn't blow my socks off or anything, but as far as, like, an opening match to an NXT after a special, I thought this was perfectly fine.
Yep, I agree. And then we got a cool moment afterwards where Xia Li came out. I mean, Xia Li coming out, I was like, okay, sure, whatever. Really badass moment, though, where she just walks up and Dakota Kai's like, hey, what are you going to do? And she just walks straight past her. I was like, that's cool.
Nice.
I'll give you that. Give you that, Xia Li. Just walks straight past her, goes up to Raquel Gonzalez and was like, hey, I want to fight you. And Raquel goes, all right. Yeah, cool. Xia Li versus Raquel Gonzalez, I guess, which I don't have any particularly strong feelings about, I'll be honest.
No, I see, this is the issue where I have not particularly cared about the whole Tian Sha thing. And it's been going on for a long time, like months and months and months since Boa and Xia Li started getting like kidnapped or whatever the storyline was.
Yeah.
I just don't really care. And yeah, they started doing the thing with Mei Ying and Mercedes Martinez. And that was it in your house. That was like a month ago. And we never got follow up. And granted, yes, Mercedes Martinez got a concussion when she was kicked in the head, so she hasn't been on TV since then. But I haven't been given a reason to care about all this, and it's not hooking me so far. So I'm not super interested in seeing a title match either. My big takeaway, because I got a lot of flack last week when I said that Ember Moon hasn't done anything in NXT and whatnot. By the end of this segment, Ember Moon was the fourth most important person involved. She lost the match and then was not factored into the post-match angle whatsoever. You could basically forget that she was even there. Oof, Maron. Good Lord. This poor Ember Moon. I mean, everyone talks about like, oh yeah, send them back to NXT. This shows that is not just a quick fix. They will mess you up just like the main roster has. Realistically, what difference has her main roster and second NXT runs have been? Like, at all? He didn't do anything on the main roster. She got a title shot at SummerSlam. She's done nothing in NXT. She got a title shot at In Your House. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's a Spider-Man meme. It's just those two pointing at each other. Like,
oh, Lord. I want so much for Ember Moon.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame. We then got a backstage promo, which was previously on YouTube thing earlier in the day or whatever, which was Diamond Mine backstage. Malcolm Bivens cut a little promo, just kind of putting over the different people in Diamond Mine, which I thought was good, trying to put them over a little bit more. And then they say they wanted to do an open challenge. Then Bobby Fish comes in and Bobby Fish says, open challenge. I'd love that. And then Roderick Strong is like, hey, it's not against me. It's against Tyler Rust. And I was like, is that all you're going to do about their history together? About being in Undisputed Era? And like Strong was basically the replacement for Bobby Fish while Bobby Fish was out injured. But then they were together after he came back. And then there's so much to like play off here. And there's nothing. There's just open challenge. I want in. And that was it. And I was like, well, I just feel like there was a lot left on the table for that, which is a bit unfortunate. And then I got a worrying feeling. I was like, oh no, they don't care about Bobby Fish, do they? And then I kind of got my feelings confirmed with their match later on. Oh boy, which I guess we might as well talk about now.
Go for it.
Which was a very short match. And Roderick Strong kind of got up on the apron after about 2 minutes. Bobby Fish got distracted. Tyler Rust hit a buzzsaw kick and then won. And then that was it. And then he was going to get beaten up after the match. And then Kushida came down for a save. Ooh, Bobby, they do not care about you, buddy.
I think Bobby Fish is going to make a really good coach at the Performance Center one day.
Yes. Yes. Great shout. He's a very, very good technical sound wrestler. He can make a very good coach.
Yeah. I mean, like, he came back and I was like, I don't think he's got a high ceiling. He lost his first match to Pete Dunne. Set up a program with Oney Lorcan that I don't think they've gone back to. He just was kickboxing or punching a punching bag one day in the gym. I was like, I haven't forgotten about you, Oney. And then proceeded to forget about Oney Lorcan. So who cares about storytelling? And now he's losing to the secondary member of Diamond Mine in 2 minutes. writing's on the wall there. I'm not saying that he should beat Tyler Rust, because you got to put over the diamond mine for sure. But I think this just kind of goes to show what they think of Bobby Fish. He's very clearly the fourth guy out of Undisputed Era. And it sucks because I really like Bobby Fish.
Yep. It's just a shame. When you look at how the other members were treated on the show, you know, Roddy didn't do a whole lot, but he was the reason why Bobby Fish lost, and he was somewhat being protected. And he's like the leader of this new faction and stuff. You got the promo from Adam Cole, which was amazing. And you got the promo from Kyle O'Reilly, which was very interesting, which we'll get into later. Bobby was just here. No. And Bobby was just here losing in 2 minutes. It's such a shame for him. But hey, yeah, Tyler Rust got a win. I'm still not super into Diamond Mine yet. They haven't really given me a reason to be super invested yet.
But that's exactly what I was going to say. They haven't given me a reason to care. And I gave them a pass like the first week and the second week because it was early. It's no longer early. They've been here for like a month now. We need to pick up the pace here.
Yeah.
You know, considering how quickly and effectively they hooked me with stuff like Hit Row, they can make a faction come in and have immediate impact. Mm-hmm. Diamond Mine has like been the opposite. They're just a group of mid-card guys. And I need to know what they're about. Give me a reason to care.
Yeah, totally. We got a little promo for Ikem and Jiro for the breakout tournament. This is exactly the kind of promo that I said that we said they should totally do, which was them just saying, hey, this is why I wrestle. This is why I'm here. I want to win the breakout tournament. Perfect. Do more of this. He did a little bit in English, a little bit in Japanese. Was great. Loved it. Very likable character. Very charismatic. It's perfect.
My favorite part of this, he's doing his thing. He's saying his spiel. And parts of it are full-on Japanese. Parts of it are like kind of broken English. Mm-hmm. And one bit, he says, and I'm going to beat your ass. And in the bottom, subtitles, I'm going to beat your butt. That is such WWE.
It's so funny. I loved it. It was great. It can make you buy into the character immediately. Something that, I don't know, maybe they should do for Diamond Mine. Just an idea. Yeah. Anyway, we then had the first of three. We'll talk about all of them now because you might as well. We had several promos with LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. Where we had three in the night. In the first one, LA Knight kind of brought in Cameron Grimes and said, you need to get trimmed up because you look terrible. And I was like, oh no, they're going to shave off his beard. They're going to make him have short hair. This is going to be a terrible thing. They kind of just neatened up the beard a bit and put it in a ponytail. And I was like, oh, that's fine, I guess. Whatever. Mm-hmm. The thing that annoyed me, and this was a running theme through the whole thing, and I think you mentioned this on your edited review as well, it feels like the story's been inverted, because the point of this is that Cameron Grimes should be getting worked over. He should be the guy that's getting screwed over by being his butler. And the entire time, LA Knight was the one who was on the wrong end of the stick the whole time through all of these segments. And that somewhat cheapens the stipulation of you've got to be my butler if you lose. Completely cheapens that stipulation if Grimes is going to be happy being his butler. It's just was a weird way to go in the first week to go about it this way. I thought it was very, very strange.
Yeah, I don't want to come across like I am super negative about everything on this show because it was good stuff, but I really didn't like this. It felt so counterintuitive to what they're doing, where up to this point, things have been going very well. And like, there were some funny bits in it, but that shouldn't be the point. We're not at the payoff of this yet. You still need to build. And they forgot about the whole build part of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said in the edited review that it would have been so much more effective to had Grimes get humiliated and humiliated and humiliated after a few weeks, and then eventually here's the payoff. It's the next match. And people are saying that I hate fun. It's like, no, I don't. I don't. That's not the point here.
You just like storytelling.
I like good storytelling.
Yeah.
Folks.
And you can have good storytelling with fun. Like
I don't understand.
And this is And it was, objectively, quite funny. These guys are naturally very charismatic, very funny people. And yeah, you can have the comedy, but just make the comedy make sense. Like, it's not hard to do. Just switch the people. Have Grimes getting worked over. And you can still have him be funny while getting annoyed at being a butler. Like, Grimes is a guy that is so naturally charismatic that he can make anything, even getting worked over. He can beat the whole thing with the whole Ted DiBiase skits was him getting annoyed at Ted DiBiase and getting the wrong end of the stick the whole time. And people loved it because he was so funny in that role. Like, you just need to do that again until you build to the flip of the power and you have Cameron Grimes come out on top. Like, that's 101 storytelling, man. Like, yeah. I don't know. It just... Whatever. And that was the first one with the makeover. Sorry, just real quick. The second one was LA Knight says you need to mow the lawn, and Grimes goes to get in a big mower, and he's like, no, you need to do it by hand with this thing, and Grimes goes off and does that. And then the third one, you come back, and Grimes is like, hey, I'm your butler, but I'm still very rich, so I hired someone else to do it. He's just finishing up. And then LA Knight says, hey, I have a strict no kids policy. You need to get out of here. And then Grimes ends up getting pushed in. Knight ends up getting pushed into the pool, courtesy of Grimes picking up a rake. It's funny. It's objectively funny, but like, it's just the wrong person ended up in the pool.
Yeah. And I've seen a number of people here saying, oh, you guys just lack patience. This isn't the part you're supposed to be patient about. Yeah. You're supposed to be patient and wait for the payoff of pushing him into the pool.
I think and we're the patient ones. We want the story to take longer.
This is so backwards. Yeah. Like, what? Be patient. Be patient for chapter one when they've skipped over to chapter six. What are you people on? I don't get it. Weird. My God. Let's move on.
Yeah. Anyway, we then got that title rust Bobby Fish. Fish match, as we mentioned before. Samoa Joe goes backstage and reminds Karrion Kross of the rules of their match later, which I thought was really cool. He just speaks to Kross. Kross ignores him, so then he kicks the punching bag and he's like, do you understand me? I was like, oh God, I love Joe. He doesn't have to do much and I love him.
I love this stuff. I really do. Like, they never seem to do these little detail things with the special guest referee bits. And now, of course, because it's NXT and there's more attention to detail, they did it. And it's just like, oh, it's the little things that make me like this show that much more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Beth Phoenix backstage tells Indy Hartwell that sometimes she just needs to take a chance. Save your rant, Tempest. Save your rant for later.
There wasn't that much index stuff on this show. My problem with it is not the index part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to it.
Nope, we've moved on from the LA Knight Cameron Grimes stuff. Sorry, I was going to bring up a comment, and I'm not doing it because we've already moved on.
I've seen it. Yeah. I'm
moving on from it. It's fine. We then got Saray versus Gigi Dolin, who originally this was going to be against Toni Storm, but Toni Storm said no, and then she's gone up to SmackDown. It looks like so. I guess they
you're
won't
never
do it.
Getting this match, Saray.
So I guess they're not doing that match. Sure. I thought Gigi Dolin looked pretty good in this match, I'll be honest. And the match was fine. You know, it wasn't anything spectacular or anything, but it was all right. This is where we got Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose comes in, who is obviously part of the well-known tag team with her and Dana Brooke on Raw, where they've done so much as a tag team. And she comes out on the stage and stands there for a bit and watches the match. And then the match carries on. They both stop and go, Mandy Rose. And then they stop for a bit. Sorry, and then they just carry on wrestling.
What did they do?
They go, at Mandy Rose. I'm pretty sure that was the exact audio that I got from the show there. So then they watch her for a bit and then they carry on wrestling. Saray's dropkick through the ropes. When the person's sitting on the bottom rope, and then she just does the drop kick and just follows all the way through, will pop me every single time. It was the same way that you popped for the Johnny on the corner of the desk thing. I do that for this drop kick. I saw it coming. I was like, oh, God. And I was like, oh, my God. She just kicks him in the face. It's great. But yeah, Saray won and Mandy Rose watched.
Yep. Cool. I didn't have much to say about all this. Like,
nope.
Saray's just kind of spinning her tires, which is fine until they find something for her to do, but I'm about ready for them to find something for her to do. And that was probably Toni Storm, but too bad. Tough luck.
Yeah, guess she's on SmackDown now. Santos Escobar and LDF cut a promo backstage. Him just saying, like, hey, Bronson Reed is bad, and Hit Row are bad, and Swerve is bad, and also Dexter Lumis is bad, and I'm great. It was all right. I thought it was good. Yep. It was weird that Joaquin Wild was just like, ah, Dexter's got really bad music. I can't even dance to it. And I was like, what?
They're giving him a thing. He does a dance, but they're going to make him the dancing guy. I don't know that's a good thing.
And then we got Dexter Lumis versus Santos Escobar. So I'm going to say my very quick piece on this. Santos won with some distractions from LDF. And afterwards, Santos is on the ramp, and Hit Row come out because Santos was talking mad S word earlier. So then they come out on the ramp and we're just like, hey, what up? And then Legado del Fantasma walk off. Tempest, I'll hand over to you.
Oh, thanks, P. That's very kind of you. We talked about this before this show went on, because we don't want to spend too much time arguing or discussing the merits of Dexter Lumis. But I feel like we came to an understanding here that when he does his stoic, cold, emotionless gimmick, it's very effective and interesting. There's a lot of things they could do with that. But his stupid crab spider walk thing kills me every time. There's no logical reason for someone to do this in a fight. And there's no logical reason for your former cruiserweight champion, who can fall off a ladder and be fearless and go in there against anybody and take on all comers and blah, blah, blah. Oh my God. Oh, creepy man. Oh my God. I got to roll out of the ring. Oh my God. Like, just kick him in the goddamn face. You're a wrestler. I felt the same way about Bray Wyatt. Every time he would do his little spider walk, it's like people would run away and be like, oh God. Just kick him in the face. You're a wrestler. Just kick him in the face. And when they went to the break and came back, he really didn't do any of that stuff afterwards. And the match greatly improved. Funny how that worked. Because that's the problem here. If it was just some guy who couldn't do anything, I don't know that I would be that mad about it. But Dexter Lumis can work. And if he just did his regular character, like the stoic thing that we saw in the first like 20 seconds of the match, where Santos Escobar goes to try and hit him, and he kind of blocks it, but he's cold, and then he gets knocked down, but he does a kip up, and he's still cold. That's really cool. There's a lot of stuff you could do with that. That is so much more intriguing than him just being a freak. Why is he a freak?
Yeah.
Oh God, I just hate it. Like, anytime Dexter Lumis is on this show in an extended matter, it makes the show significantly worse. Significantly worse. This was the worst match I've seen in NXT in a while. In a good long while, and Aaliyah wrestled on this show.
I don't think it was that bad. After that, we got Kyle O'Reilly did a backstage interview. I thought this was really interesting because I had to go back and listen to this again because I was like, wait, hold on a minute. What did Kyle say exactly here? Because this was really interesting. So I thought this was just going to be a little sit-down interview where Kyle was just like, hey, man, you know, I lost against Adam Cole, but I'm still going to fight. I'm Kyle O'Reilly. I'm going to come back stronger than ever, and I'm going to take back what's mine. I'm going to become NXT champion. But this was not that promo.
Nope.
Kyle O'Reilly said, is in an interview with Wade Barrett and sit down pre-recorded interview. And he said he was watching the footage back from his match against Adam Cole last week at Great American Bash. And he said he struggled to recognize who he was. Where's the killer instinct? And I was like, Okay, interesting. And then he was saying, you know, I was saying before that I wanted to get my soul back after I gave it up to the Undisputed Era. But now I'm thinking, do I even need it back? I mean, I used to do things differently, sure, but I got the job done. And I was like, are they teasing a Kyle O'Reilly heel turn? Like, what's happening here? This is very interesting. But then, you know, he's still adamant that he needs to beat Adam Cole. And he's saying, I'm not the guy that can and will beat Adam Cole. I'm the guy that can and will finish Adam Cole. And I was like, Kyle O'Reilly's losing it because he lost to Adam Cole. This is really interesting character work. A guy who's put so much emphasis on beating Adam Cole. And he beat him the first time in the unsanctioned match. And then he couldn't beat him in the straight up singles match at Great American Bash. This guy is now losing it a little bit. And he's like, maybe I do need to go back to what I was doing in Undisputed Era. I was a champion when I was in Undisputed Era, and now I'm not a champion. Huh, isn't that weird? That is fascinating character work for me. I'm super invested in this.
It's kind of reminiscent of another NXT feud where the babyface won in the first match in an unsanctioned match, couldn't win the second match, and then started going a little crazy.
Huh, funny how that works.
Funny how that works. Yeah. I like it because it makes the second match have consequences.
Yes.
If Kyle O'Reilly is forced to change because of a loss, that's good. I like that.
Yes, I agree. God, I like this a lot. We got the second LA Knight Grimes thing. We then saw in the ad break that Indy Hartwell, we're back to Dexter Lumis, Indy Hartwell attempted to carry out Dexter Lumis after their match, and I was like, huh, that's a nice reversal of a thing. And then they fall over, and then they nearly kiss, but then Candice LeRae comes out and pushes Indy off of Dexter, and boo, they almost kissed.
See, when I have a bunch of people go in and defend the Cameron Grimes LA Knight thing, makes me feel better when a lot of the same people defend this stuff. It's like, all right, just tell me that you don't understand storytelling. Like, you're allowed to like it, but it's a bad story. Like, where's the love story here? It's not a story. It's a series of events that don't relate to one another.
They just like each other, Tempest. Don't question.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
Why do they like each other, Pete? Why?
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, we then got the first match of the breakout tournament from 2021.
This was fun.
I've just seen Luke in the chat. Tempest. Thanks,
Luke.
Yeah, we then got the first match of the breakout tournament, which was Ike Manjiro versus Duke Hudson. Now, I didn't know, and I don't know if you do either, Duke Hudson is Brendan Vink, who was on the main roster. He was on Raw. He was with MVP for a bit. I had no idea it was the same guy until I started watching the match, and I was like, wait a second. I recognize this guy. Is this Brendan Vink? And I looked it up and I was like, oh my God, it totally is. So Vink is back as Duke Hudson. Because I don't think either of us mentioned that on last week's show when we were running down all the competitors in the breakout tournament. I've barely seen anyone talking about it online that it's the same person. So I was like, huh, interesting. I thought this was very fun. And I'll tell you what as well, I think the right person won as well. Here's a hot take for you. I think the right person won because Ike Manjiro is so easy to get on board with.
Sorry, I just saw something that's really dumb. Sorry. He's overthinking it. Not everything has to be good. All right. I also think the right person won here. Sorry, that just absolutely threw me.
Yeah. Sorry, that was great. Because Ike Manjiro is such an easy character to get on board with. It's someone you can watch one match, you go, I get it. I get you, yeah. I understand. This is great. I get it.
Very charismatic.
Exactly, yeah. And someone like Duke Hudson is someone you need a bit of time because his thing that's gonna get him over is his wrestling, his size, his power, his intangible being strength. It's that kind of thing that will get him over in time, but you need more matches for him to kind of solidify that in fans' minds. Whereas we can keep watching Ike Manjiro on future episodes of NXT and people will be like, hey, I like you. You're great. He's already going to be over from this one exposure that he's already had. Whereas Duke Hudson takes more time. I think him advancing in the tournament is great. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought this was good.
I said in the edited review that I would have booked the tournament different so that both of these guys could advance. But at the same time, there's only like eight of them in it. So, and you also have, I would imagine that Carmelo Hayes and Dexter, or not Dexter, God damn it. Trey Baxter.
He's in your mind, Tempest.
I know. Rent free. Oh, that Trey Baxter, he's got an X in his name. It's very similar. Trey Baxter will probably both advance. I don't know about the rest of it. I would think Odyssey Jones will also advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all of them. That's four guys. So eventually you kind of have to start saying like, okay, well, it's not going to be this guy. It's not going to be this guy. It's not going to be this guy, you know? So you got to do what you got to do, but there you go. It was a good match. I really enjoyed the match.
Yeah.
This match was fun.
It was very fun. And I think Hudson going on. I'm excited. Oney Lorcan and Pete Dunne were backstage. Dunne says he doesn't care who wins in the NXT title match. And then says, you know, ask Johnny who's the baddest man in NXT. Go to Karrion Kross. I had him in that triangle choke and he had no response for me. I'm the baddest man. I'm the greatest. But then Timothy Thatcher comes in and he's saying, well, what are you? Are you the baddest man in NXT or are you the best technical worker in NXT? And Pete Dunne's like, who's asking? Ciampa comes in, big brawl. I think that'll be a fun little program. Lorcan and Dunne versus Thatcher and Ciampa.
Absolutely.
I'm into it. That should be good. Yeah. Cool.
Very fun.
Anyway, we then got a recap of Zoe Stark and Io Shirai winning the women's tag team titles. And then we got a match of Kayden Carter versus Casey and Kayden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. God, there's a lot of K's and C's in that. Kayden Carter and Casey Catanzaro versus Aaliyah and Jesse Kamea. It was a match. Whatever.
This was Wrestling 101.
Yeah.
This was as basic a tag match, and it was still kind of meh.
And then afterwards, the match happened. And Carter and Catanzaro won. I like their finisher, the neck break with the 450. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, Aaliyah turns on Robert Stone and the crowd pop massively for it. And I was like, what's happening? What am I missing? It's like Tamina at WrestleMania. I'm like, what am I missing? Why are people so in, you know, credit to Aaliyah, credit to the fans, whatever. If you want to make a moment out of it, by all means, they can do it. And they made the moment better for it. Great. I'm really happy for Aaliyah that she got a big reaction and all that stuff. I don't get it, personally. Nope. I don't understand. But great. Happy for her. Aaliyah turns to Robert Stone, beats him up a little bit. And then just as he's getting away, Jesse Kamea is like, do I go with Aaliyah? Do I not? I don't know what to do. And then Frankie Monet comes in, of all people. And she kind of takes Jesse Kamea and Robert Stone away with her. And then there was a backstage segment where Mandy Rose comes back to them and says, but it looks like the Robert Stone brand is under new management and then walks away. And I was like, what is all of this?
I don't know.
What's happening? I genuinely think that the Robert Stone brand might be the least successful act in NXT history. Like, not saying like the worst or anything like that, but the least successful. I mean, like, it had Chelsea Green. Off she went, you know? I had nothing. It was a really terrible debut for the group. You had, like, Aaliyah and Jessica May. You had Mercedes Martinez at one point, and she buggered off as well because she went up for Retribution. Remember that? And then, yeah. And now you've got Aaliyah's left, and now Frankie Monet has come in and is kind of running the group, but it's still called the Robert Stone brand. Who's what?
Yeah, I said last week that I would keep Frankie Monet far away from all of this, and now she's like leading them. I just don't think this is a good idea, like at all.
Yeah,
why would you attach yourself to the anchor of the NXT roster? Just this whole thing. They're portrayed as geeks. They never win matches. And Robert Stone is a loser. He's a geek. He's a buffoon.
Ah, but now you see, Tempest. Now they're going to have Mandy Rose and all of their fortunes are going to turn around. It's going to be Frankie Monet, Jesse Kamea, and Mandy Rose as a strong faction. Anyway.
See, do you think that's what it is? Because I think that Mandy Rose might head up her own little women's faction, maybe, and take on the Robert Stone brand. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Anywho. We then had Samoa Joe backstage, reminds Johnny Gargano of the rules from the main event. I also thought this was very good. Again, plays off their dynamics and stuff. Very, very good. We had the third LA Knight and Cameron Grimes skit. And then we had Adam Cole cutting a wonderful promo. God, Adam Cole, so good. Yes. Says that he's completely done with Kyle O'Reilly, and he kind of mocks all the things that Cole said in his sit-down interview earlier. And he's like, oh, I walked through the fire. And he's like, yeah, and you got burned by Adam Cole. It was just brilliant. He says that Samoa Joe is a coward. He says he's crept up behind him and he attacked him. He's not scared of him. You're just a guy in a suit, whatever. You won't come down here and face me man to man. I know you won't. It's great. I love it. Says there's no one who's man enough to go toe to toe with him. Out comes Bronson Reed. And I was like, huh, that's a choice. Mm-hmm. I love Bronson Reed. You guys know I love Bronson Reed. I thought he was up to the main roster. I didn't think he was going to be seen on NXT again. I thought that was that. Like, he dropped the dropped the North American Championship, and then that's it kind of thing. But yeah, he comes out and he says, hey, I've got nothing to lose anymore. I lost the North American title, and now I have nothing. What's scarier than a man who's got nothing to lose? Comes out, he gets the best of Adam Cole here. Cool. You know, if they're going to have Bronson Reed have a little bit more in NXT before he gets called up, great. Stick him in with Adam Cole. Why not? You know, he's probably going to lose, but if anyone's going to make him look good in defeat, it's going to be Adam Cole. I'm up for that. Adam Cole can get another good win against a solid talent, you know, someone who's been pretty well built up. Cool. Yeah.
My favorite part of this whole promo segment was, like, right near the top where he made light of something that Kyle O'Reilly said during the promo earlier in the show, where Kyle O'Reilly said, like, hey, man, like, losing happens. It's part of life.
Yes.
And that sort of stuff. Because there was a part of me who wanted to say, like, no, you need to live and die by this defeat. And he ended up kind of getting there, saying that he needs to beat Adam Cole, and it's really affecting him. So I was okay with that. But when Adam Cole then goes out and says, like, yeah, losing's part of life for someone like Kyle O'Reilly, not like me, I was like, oh, that's why you're the star. That's why you're the top guy around here. Absolutely. I love that. I love wins and losses mattering. And Adam Cole made them feel like they mattered. So shout out to Adam Cole. This was a very enjoyable promo.
Yeah. And him literally just being like, he's just such a dick when he says it. He's literally like looking straight in the camera and he's like, losing is part of life. If your name's Kyle O'Reilly, it's like, shut up, Cole. You're the best. And then we got that little backstage segment with Frankie Monet and Mandy Rose. And then we got the main event, which we've already spoken about. So overall, I thought this was an okay show. You know, there were quite a lot of things on this show. There were some minor, some major that I didn't really like. I thought the storytelling and the Grimes Knight stuff didn't really make sense. I thought they should have waited on that for the dynamics to be flipped. The main event was super fun, and I'm really excited to see where Joe and Cross stuff goes. Adam Cole was still amazing. I thought the quality of in-ring wrestling was mostly good. There were a couple of not great ones in there, but mostly pretty good. Overall, I'd given this a three and a half out of five, something like that.
Yep, I'm with you. I thought the main event was really good. I thought the opening match was good. I thought the Adam Cole promo and the Eichmann, Jiro, Duke Hudson matches were both good. Everything else on the show I thought was okay at best. So I'm going to kind of split that right down the middle and say 3 out of 5.
Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here before we get out of here. Last chance to get those in. WrestleTalk.com/support is the link to do it. Last chance for those. And we'll read all of them that are $5 and up before the show ends. Joe Strikes comes in to say, I don't think Joe will wrestle. Joe will give Cross the beating of a lifetime. Murdered so bad, Vacant wins another title. Cross just then randomly shows up on the main roster. And this is all to build Joe's role and not have him wrestle. I don't know if I'd like that. I don't know if I'd like that. I still think it would be a little bit of an anticlimax if Joe doesn't have a match. Even if he like just beats up Cross and forces him to vacate the title or whatever. Yeah. I still don't think that would be enough, personally.
It also, like, I don't know if the point of this Ultra Chat is to like get Cross to the main roster without beating him, but beating him up so bad that he vacates the title essentially serves the same narrative purpose. So I don't think that would make too much of a difference, but I don't know. We'll see. I would prefer to just see Joe Russell.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. We got one here from Trevor L. It says, just got my ticket to the September 20th Raw. Thanks for the Hawks Oilers reference, Tempest. We need more hockey mentions. Thanks for doing everything you do and keep it up. Thank you very much, Trevor L.
Thank you, Trevor.
Appreciate it. And I hope you have fun at the September 20th Raw. So I've got an email here, Tempest. I have an email. By the way, like send in your emails. We haven't been getting in many emails. I'm very lonely. Please send them in. We want your contact. support@wrestletalk.com. Send in your emails with like the subject being like, I don't know, Lost Intangibles or whatever. And we'll see it. And then we can, yeah, we'll read them and then we can read them out on the show. That would be great. Thanks. We've got an email here from Juan. It says, mis compadres, ¿cómo están? Hello.
Bueno.
I was thinking. Yes, bueno. I was thinking, has it ever happened to you that you never learn the name of two wrestlers, even though they don't look alike? For example, I used to know who was Scott and Dash from the Revival, but I don't know which one is Dax and which one is Cash now. Same with the Young Bucks. Have a great day.
No.
Tempest is too maybe, smart for that.
Well, frankly, yes.
Yes.
I think there was a time where... Actually, no, that's not true. Sometimes I still have a hard time distinguishing some wrestlers. Mm-hmm. If they're in the same faction and they're not like distinguishable, I'll be honest. I get Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza mixed up sometimes just cause I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have to like take a really good look at their tights cause they'll probably have their name on them. But most of the time I can kind of figure it out. I know Dax is Dax.
Yeah.
You know, and yep, Cash well is Cash.
Yeah.
You know, it was definitely harder when they were in the Revival because, again, they didn't have any distinguishing features other than one is bald and one is not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did have to like make like rules in my head to distinguish the Young Bucks at first. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, Matt has black hair like Matt Hardy. That's how I know that one's Matt. And now I know because they're this big deal and everything like that. But at the time, you do have to kind of work out little things in your head to make sure that you know which one's which. I feel like I might have done the same thing with Blake and Murphy way back in the day, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a fair one. I'm just going to throw out there, back in the day, the Usos, you know, that's kind of hard to distinguish. Yeah.
Some people still can't.
Yeah, even though they have very different hairstyles, different characters, and they wear different things. Yeah, sure. to be fair, in Juan Zemo, he does say wrestlers that don't look alike. There's definitely some. I'm trying to think of. There's definitely some that I just can't think of them right now. Normally, it's like, to be fair though, I had the thing with the Young Bucks, but that was normally when I first started watching the Young Bucks. I was like, I don't know these guys. They're called the Young Bucks. One's Matt, one's Nick. I'm like, okay, I can't tell you apart, but that happens with every actor thing until you get used to them at the very least. Send in your emails, support@wrestletalk.com. Give us some more examples because I'm flagging here. I can't think of any, even though there are definitely some there. Now, there's a thing I was going to... I've done it again, Tempest, where I've had a thing
every
and I've forgotten
show.
It. Every show, man. I'm literally like, that would be a good thing to bring up on the podcast. And then I don't. No, I've completely blanked. Tell you what I've been watching lately. There it is. I've been watching speed runs because it's SGDQ. Ooh. It's Summer Games Done Quick Time, and I'm very happy about it. I'm watching a ton of speed runs lately. They're so cool. Something that was really cool was I very briefly last year got into speedrunning Pokemon Emerald specifically. Glitchless
like
run.
You would do it or you'd watch it do it? Oh, right on.
Both, but I did it for a little bit, only for a little bit. I mean, the main reason I wanted to do it, or one of the main things that was appealing to me, was I get to play my old Game Boy Advance SP, and it'd be super cool, and I'd speedrun on that, and it'd be cool and all that. But then I didn't have the things I'd need to get, like, verified speedruns, because I'd need to, like, hook it up to my computer, and I didn't have the stuff for it. And then I was like, well, I could play on an emulator, but that's not as fun, because I'd be using a keyboard, and that's like, doesn't have the same feel to it. So I played it for a little bit. I did one of the big glitches... the big manipulations, because it's a glitchless run, is getting the correct Mudkip in Pokemon Emerald, because you need to get a specific Mudkip that has a certain nature, certain IVs, so that is like the strongest one you can get for the run. And the whole run is based off this one particular Mudkip. And you have to do a very specific timing of certain things and steps. And it's like a frame perfect trick. And the game runs at 60 frames a second. So in the space of a 60th of a second, you have to hit A, the exact right time and time it and all that stuff. And I got that trick down, which was good. That was like the one thing that I could do. And I got to like the first gym leader, I got to Roxanne. And I did that in, like, I think my best time of doing that first little section was, like, I don't know, 17, 18 minutes. And I spoke to a few people in the community. And one of the guys I spoke to was a guy who went by Amoeba, was his, like, tag, his name that he did. And the guy that was running SGDQ, who was doing Pokemon Emerald Glitchless at SGDQ, was Amoeba. And I was like, that's really cool. I spoke to you before about running this game, and now you're running it at GDQ. That's awesome. And he did, and his run on the Glitchless on SGDQ up to Roxanne took him about 17 to 18 minutes. And I was like, I kept pace with you for the first gym leader, and then I stopped because it was really hard, because that's where you get all the other manipulations and all the other stuff going in. but I got the first bit down. I've been watching so many speedruns as of late for SGDQ. It's so much fun. I love speedruns. Do you have any interest in speedruns, Tempest? Or am I boring you with this?
I hadn't for a while. The only speedrunner this is very recent, like within the last month. I've started following Small Ant on YouTube and his speedruns. He's predominantly a Mario Odyssey speedrunner. Yeah. And I started watching it just because he would do like Pokemon Challenge runs where it's like, I'm gonna play through Pokemon Emerald without using the PC and stuff like that, or I can't go into the Pokemon Center or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm gonna do a team only with shinies. I was like, well, I gotta see this. I never had too much interest in it, just because I can't imagine playing one game that many times. I would drive myself insane. The only thing, and I'm not even close to being good enough to actually speed run it. It's just the one game that I can beat quickly is Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins on the old Game Boy. I haven't looked up to see what the actual like speed run record is for that game.
Well,
but
what better time?
What better time?
Now, Tempest.
Because that's the game where I was like, I can beat that game pretty quickly.
Right.
At least for my standards.
The championship is getting in the way of me typing. Super Mario Land 2. Is that right?
Yep, 6 golden coins.
That's the one. World record time is currently, any percent glitchless, 26 minutes and 14 seconds.
It's very interesting.
Adam Ferrari 64.
That's very interesting. If I wanted to, I could probably get within a few minutes of that. So I think my best time to beat that game was about a half hour.
Yeah. So there's been a grand total. There's 137 people on this leaderboard for Super Mario 2. 137th, an hour and 4 minutes.
well, I could get on that leaderboard. Jesus Christ.
You absolutely
could.
Yeah. Yeah. Whew. And it quickly jumps to like 126. You're looking at 41 minutes. And then it gets very, very close. It goes like 39, 38, 38, 37, 37, 37. And then it's a lot of 36s, 32s, a lot of 30s, and a ton of 29, 28, 27, and 26. Like the 26 goes to like 35th, all in the 26 minute range, goes from first to 35th. And then, 27th, goes even more than that. Yeah, there's a lot, but you could totally go on it. That's the thing. I started speedrunning Hades last year. Hades, right. Brilliant game, by the way. Bloody love that thing. I didn't really speedrun it because the game wasn't at the state it needed to be. I needed to complete more runs and stuff like that. But I was getting used to the speedrunning tech, and I was using the right weapons and the right boons and all that stuff you need for it. And if I'd have submitted a run I did, which I didn't because why? Because I think I got something like 12 minutes in-game time, that is 12 minutes or something like that, which was like 135th or something like that out of like 500 people. I was like, yeah, that would have been cool, but I never submitted it. But still, yeah. God, I love speedrunning so much. And the thing is, I've been watching speedruns of games that I like have basically no interest in, but I'm just like, the strategies and the things that people explain on these speedruns is just so interesting to me. Like people diving into like a game's code, and it's like, well, did you know that if you press left for exactly 3 frames in this particular exact pixel location, then it has this effect on the game's code, which means we can manipulate it in this certain way. It's like, how does anyone find this out? Like, this is bananas, all of this stuff. It's, I love it. I love that stuff. It's so interesting to me.
Yeah. Again, the going back to the 6 golden coins thing, I would freak my friend out in high school because we had a very lax teacher in our media studies class, which was just, as you can probably imagine, is just the most laid back class we ever had. You know, we watched movies, we talked about them, but we just kind of hung out. And another one of my friends would bring, he was that kid who would bring like a Game Boy and a whole backpack full of Game Boy games and stuff to class, you know.
Hell yeah.
Screw schoolwork, it's Game Boy. And so whenever we got to media studies, I would always be like, hey man, can I play 6 golden coins? And he'd be like, yeah, whatever, and just hand me his SP and 6 golden coins. And my best friend who would sit beside me, I would be like, I'm going to beat this game in about a half hour or so. Sit tight. And he's like, what? No, you're not. That's not possible. Come on. We just sat down. You're going to beat this before the class is half over? I was like, all right. And I would go, and like a half hour later, I'd just hand it to him and the credits are going. And I was just like, this is my one game. This is the one game I'm good at.
That's rad. You should totally look up some of the world records or whatever. Just have a look. Oh, have a look at the gameplay. What it's like.
See, I can think of like a number of the moments where you skip parts of levels and everything, you know, like I've played it enough to know the secret bits where you got to skip things. So it's like, if any game that I would be willing to put more time and effort into, it would probably be this one.
Yeah. And that's how I felt about Pokemon Emerald, because that was the game that I played the most out of like anything in the world ever. And I know I knew so much about like the gym leaders' Pokemon's move sets and what level they were and where you could find TM and where you could find certain items and stuff like that. Like, I knew a lot about the game already. It's just the fact that the speed hour was like 3 hours long. And it's like, cool, if you mess stuff up, you lose so much time. It's like, cool. That's hard to commit yourself to, but you know, maybe I'll pick it up again one day. It was just the fact that I couldn't get to play my SP like I wanted to for an actual speed run, which is a shame. But hey ho, maybe I'll do it again later. Send in your emails about speed runs. I want to read them. Support@wrestletalk.com. Please send us emails. I really want emails. Support@wrestletalk.com. Send them in, please. Anyway, I think that's probably all the time we've got for this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate it. We'll be back. We've got Money in the Bank live reactions on Sunday on the WrestleTalk Podcast YouTube channel. We're going to have a review on Monday as well, so stay tuned for that. But don't worry, Gem That Championship isn't going anywhere because your boy's not defending it. Why would I? I'm just defending it at SummerSlam at the big shows. Anyway, I'll catch you guys later. Thank you guys very much for listening. Really do appreciate it. Love you very much. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.